This 722, Dina Diamond, good morning. Let's talk marketing, because it's a lot safer. Although maybe it isn't, because Woolworths got themselves into a lot of trouble last week because they stereotyped people. But stereotyping has always been, as far as I've understood, a feature of advertising.
Absolutely. And why do people stereotype? Mm-hmm. Because they exist.
Because men don't ask for directions.
Like, where do you get stereotypes from? Yeah, so Woolworths found themselves in a lot of hot water over their Valentine campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So they had big posters and stuff all over which said, he forgets your favorite song and he knows more than Siri. And then at the same time, it had her saying that she orders a salad and eats your chips. Yeah. I mean,
I love that one, actually.
I love them.
And it is fun.
It is fun, and people were highly offended by it. But again, you have to think, like, so yes, so what did they do? They left out, first of all, they stereotyped. So people were up in arms that
the horror
that men think that they know everything and they fight for the remote control and they think it's theirs.
We don't fight. It's ours.
There's no fight.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that women take long to get dressed and shave their legs with your razor. I mean, seriously, I just feel like in this country, we've got more things to get upset about than a company that actually really does go out there. Woolworths has got massive, like, CSI product. Like,
why do you think it is, though, that Woolworths seems to be getting, often is the target, and we're seeing this over and over again?
Well, I think they're so prolific. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, Woolworths is one of the biggest brands in South Africa in terms of consumerism, in terms of where people go. They're in every single mall. And whenever you're a massive brand, you are going to be in trouble at least part of the time. Like, when you've got that many consumers and you're in so many places and so many people engage with your brand on an ongoing basis and you've got so much that you do, at some point you're going to get in trouble.
You know, like, I think it was interesting that I was thinking the other day about, remember that Pick and Pay disaster where they had those mugs for the gardener and for the maid. Yet it disappeared very, very quickly. So it was a storm in a teacup. Literally. Maybe it wasn't a storm in a teacup. I just like
the
expression, because of it applied. But it was a real thing. It turned out to be an independent store that was, and the owner had ordered this, himself. It blows up and then it just disappears. Woolworths, there's this ongoing thing.
People are engaged with Woolworths. I don't think people are as engaged with
other brands, right.
I think people feel connected to Woolworths. I mean, I feel connected to Woolworths.
Is that your spiritual home?
My spiritual home.
Right.
I mean, there's not a thing that you can't get, especially when you're in a hurry. Like, they just keep coming up with new innovative products and they continuously seem to have stuff that you're like, oh my God, no, I can't believe no one thought about that before.
Right, right.
And they really are at the edge. I mean, they have,
so I guess
when we talk about a
edge,
brand transformation, they have completely transformed.
Yes, because when we were young, Woolworths was really, really not where
Absolutely.
You wanted to be.
So when you were wearing your brown velvet jacket.
No, my pants were from Woolworths, not the jacket. Actually, maybe it was.
At that stage, Woolworths was not really a brand that one
aspired to.
It wasn't a high-end brand. I wouldn't say Pick and Pay level, but it was viewed differently. It was an average supermarket. It wasn't, I mean, even Pick and Pay have picked up their
stores, of course,
and every brand and every merchandise and everything. But if you look, Woolworths have really come on a long journey and they've invested a lot of money and time into their branding, into their positioning, into their merchandise, into their high end. They've got like the Country Road brand from Australia.
Right.
And again, the bigger the brand and the more people engage with the brand and the more people are actually loyal to your brand, and people get very upset. They get very emotional when
they
feel
attached.
They've stepped wrong. Yes.
Right.
And so this campaign, yes, it did stereotype. But again, how serious was it? So yes, it wasn't their best work.
Right.
And they did offend and potentially did forget to look at other relationships, so non just woman men relationships. And
but is, you know, I wrote in my article, is that such a big deal so long as other campaigns are addressing,
speaking to the other parts
speaking
of the
to
consumers.
The, yes, you know,
you can't speak to every consumer.
Well, I used the example of Christmas advertising. As a Jewish person, do I need to be offended because Christmas advertising is aimed at people who celebrate Christmas? No, provided that comes a Rosh Hashanah or a Pesach, there's some kind of validation for my segment of the market. But not every campaign needs to address everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, what if they had a running campaign?
Exactly. What would the non-runners think? Yeah, not that I know any non-runners anymore. But exactly right. The time is 7:29. We're going to continue this conversation in a short while. But first, it is 7:38. Dina Diamond, we are talking stereotyping in adverts. So it's always been kind of, but you know what? Something that I've noticed is in the South African context, even before there was any form of real racial integration, what advertisers tried to do was normalize interracial racial integration, and almost, you know, whereas people at one stage were very, very separate, now they would now show people of different races having a beer together, mm-hmm. et cetera, so that kind of moves away from stereotyping, but it's actually almost what we want to achieve. You know, what's that push and pull?
Absolutely. I mean, so there's no doubt when advertisers and marketers are doing ads, they, first of all, they look at exactly, first of all, you've got to find out who your target market is. So who are you aiming at? And then how are you going to represent them when you actually do an ad, when you do a print ad, a TV ad, etc. And specifically in the South African context, we definitely see that move where you will always find a mixed racial group. When you're looking at, like you're right, for beer ads and alcohol, there's always a mixed racial group. When you're looking at like Coca-Cola, anything that you really is like nation building, want to feel good, but you can't in a country like South Africa just have an ad with white people. It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
And so you've got to be representative of the people that you're selling to. You've got to be representative of your consumer base. And, I think even if you look at, so you know, women are generally associated with domestic products and so there is always stereotyping. So like if Omo came up with an ad and you saw a man doing the washing, like it actually, and this is a complete stereotype, but it wouldn't sit right. It wouldn't seem to be right. And people maybe actually would not associate with, like, look at that brand and associate with it. They would feel like there was something of it off. So even though we say we don't want stereotypes, and even though there's outcry and outrage, why are people not being outraged? Because women, I mean, in terms of actual statistics with regards to women and ads, etc., so women were 4 times more likely than men not to have a speaking role. And women were 3.5 times more likely than men to be presented at home or in a domestic environment versus at work. And women are 2 times more likely than men to be associated with domestic products like body care and home goods. So whether we like stereotypes or not, there's something that if they tried to put a man, it would almost come across as inauthentic. And maybe the consumers wouldn't resonate with that particular piece of advertising and would not see it as a potential. Because ultimately what marketers and advertisers have to do is they have to sell the product. And when a product comes out, it has to be relatively genuine. It can't be disingenuous because then people are not going to, it's going to totally fall flat.
So I guess the challenge is maybe taking that example of a woman in a domestic environment, you know, with a washing powder. Mm-hmm. The challenge there is to portray her in a way that isn't
non-sexist, almost.
Correct. So she can be in that role, but she doesn't want to be a 1950s mom.
Yes. And that's changed. If you actually look at the evolution of marketing. So yes, absolutely. So stereotypes definitely exist, but it is a fine line about having a stereotype or having someone that's generally associated with that role. Mm. And I think you even had that conversation with David Abramson the other day when you were talking about a pilot on a plane.
Yes.
Even women, I think if they feel like there's a woman pilot versus a man pilot, men physically, it is 100% true that men are physically stronger than women. It's just a natural physiological fact. And, so all of it, and also we're coming from a massive, like, sort of misogynistic environment where, historically, and patriarchal societies where everything originally women were supposed to be home in the kitchen and men were the ones out working. They were the stronger ones. And it has changed. If you look at advertising, it has definitely evolved. So we have come somewhere. We have sort of progressed in our society. You no longer have those ads where those women are in almost those, you know, those wonderful, pretty, frilly dresses.
Yes, waiting for the husband to come home.
Yeah,
maybe.
With a hot pot pie.
Right, exactly. Honey, I'm home.
So there has been an evolution. But you still are talking.
But that's the challenge, I guess, is that advertisers have got to understand exactly that social infrastructure and social nuance.
And because the idiosyncrasies,
yes, because the minute they push it too far or not far enough, they are going to, they actually have to absolutely capture the mood of a particular society. If they don't, in either direction, it's going to do them damage.
No, absolutely. And I mean, if you, we really, I think we have come a long way, but even from a racial perspective, I don't remember there was that ad, it was a Chinese ad where there was a man that she put into a washing machine. It was a black, it was a Chinese woman and she was with this black man and then she puts him into a washing machine and then he, and he, cause she's using this new washing powder and he comes out as a Chinese man. Did you see that ad?
No.
No, globally. No.
I'm so uncomfortable right now. I'm so uncomfortable.
Massive. Right. It got pulled as well, obviously.
Well, really. There's
but
a shock.
What I'm saying is that there are some, you know, just racial sensitivities and that also completely in this day and age, we are horrified when we see such a thing. But in China, it wasn't seen as so bad, but it did obviously got global outrage.
Right. Wow.
It actually did surface when Dove was going through that whole,
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So Dove also, and again, Dove actually didn't mean, when their ad came out, it was completely misinterpreted.
Yeah. I feel the same as well. Yeah.
So what happened was that there was someone was using, it was actually, there was the irony was that it was supposed to show that everyone uses Dove, not just white people, not just black people, not just Indian people. And it showed like one person washing and it sort of morphed one into the other, but the last person happened to be white. So, so unfortunately for them, it was just really bad circumstance. But,
and they pulled that, presumably.
Yeah, obviously they pulled that.
I mean, there's no
but point. But we live in such a world where I think you even alluded to this in your article as well, that there are such heightened levels of sensitivity and always being so PC that do we overreact to things that actually the intention obviously is never there, especially for big brands.
I mean, because why would it
would
be there?
They would never, ever.
Yeah, let's
big
go.
Brands
it's an insult to a good section of our consumer base.
Never do their own brands a disservice or pull themselves out into the limelight like that. But they do get it wrong and they don't always think of every single one, every single sort of what's the next scenario if it's going to happen. And I think they just have to be more careful, unfortunately, because in the day and age that we live in with social media, everyone's a commentator, everyone's a critic, and you're so accessible via Twitter that anyone can tweet at you and it goes viral.
And as long as it's cleverly done, it's all over the show.
Absolutely.
Time is 7:45. Dina Diamond, thank you for a fascinating conversation, and we'll catch up with you next week.